Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Paul Kuharski will be with us later in the program. We got a lot to discuss with PK, so we will get into that throughout the program. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joey had Bruce Feldman on the show yesterday. Really good information. If you missed that interview, you can check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, thegamenashville.com. And one of the things we got into with Feldman was the wide receiver position and how exactly how stacked is it this year when you're looking at some of the top receiver prospects. Who stands out? How could the Titans get themselves in play for one of these guys? And what are some names that he's hearing that are making some headway, either on the positive front or the negative front, coming out of the NFL Combine? Here's what Bruce Feldman had to say on the show yesterday.
Yeah, I think he will end up being a longer term a defensive back and a corner, because from the people I talk to who like him a lot, they think he can be a great corner or a really good receiver. And it's just harder to find great corners. And he came across great in the meetings with teams that I talked to. They really, really liked him. I mean, I have a story in the piece on The Athletic, just of an anecdote of what he told one of the coaching staffs. I mean, they came away, they went in really liking him, and they loved him after that. The receiver class is not great like it was last year. I mean, you had obviously four big time receivers, the two LSU guys, he certainly had Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze last year. I think Teterone McMillan from Arizona has exceptional ball skills. He's 6'4 plus. He did not come across great in the meetings of the coaches I talked to. They were just kind of underwhelmed by him and kind of his vibe. But I don't think there were character concerns. They just didn't kind of love how he came across. But his film is really good. You know, there's questions about his speed. He's probably never going to run. He told some NFL teams he's not running at the combine. I don't think he's going to run in his pro day. So people are sitting there going, is he a 4.55 guy? Is he a 4.7 guy? He's probably in the maybe low 4.6s, but he has spectacular ability to make contested catches and make big plays. So I think from a talent standpoint, he's number one. A guy who helped himself probably as much as anybody overall in Indy was Matthew Golden. He ran blazing fast at sub 4.3. He is probably the best route runner in this draft. And he has really good ball skills too. He's just not very big, but I think he is a solid first round guy.
So that was Feldman yesterday on the receiving class. He talks about Matthew Golden there, really helping himself. He ran a 4.29 on the 40 at the combine. People have called him the best route runner in the draft, not just Feldman. Like a lot of people have called him the best route runner in the draft. Tet McMillan, you heard him talk about, you know, he didn't necessarily blow people away with his interview, and he's not running at the combine. Doesn't sound like he may run at his pro day. He does have like the size and length and the contested catchability that you're looking for at the top of the draft. Overall, though, it does not sound like Feldman thinks this is a great wide receiver class. So I'm wondering, like, approaching this, if you're the Titans, let's say they go get Darnold, and Darnold ends up being their quarterback, and you're trying to trade back out of number one. How attractive is trading back and picking up somebody at receiver, whether that's a McMillan, whether that's a Matthew Golden, or a dream that I won't let die with Travis Hunter here in just a second. We'll get him there.
Well, Matthew Golden, best route runner, 4.29, and also had good hands. And if you watch Texas, he put it on film too. So it's interesting, like, how much did he help himself? There's always some people who help themselves at the combine. He had to have been one of them. How much? And, you know, like, the Tet McMillan thing is really interesting there. You know, it's sort of that hazy, didn't come across well, but high. Now, that's where sometimes I do perk up a little bit and think, is that a team that actually does want him,
right,
and wants people, you know what I mean? And just wants people to think that there's something going on there. But again, I mean, all these teams that are serious about any of these guys have their own interviews with them. So I don't even know how much that necessarily helps. But not running, and not surprising that Ted McMillan wouldn't run. He's exactly the type of receiver that doesn't run at the combine because, one, while going in, I think people had him as a top receiver, but two, he's not – the 40 time is not going to be his strong selling point, right? No. It's how big physical he is and how good he is at body control and overpowering DBs downfield.
No, now if I'm a team, I probably also don't love it that he's not running, at least at his pro day there. So we'll see what that looks like. Like you wonder, like how fast is he? Like you don't want him be, you know, running a 5.1 out there. So
we'll see. Well, that's true.
We'll see what that looks like with Ted McMillan moving forward here. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dylan to the program. Dylan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so Bruce Feldman's comments about Ted McMillan's, his vibe was off. His vibe. Are you kidding me? The dude's vibe is off. Can you tell me what that means? Because a vibe is different to everyone. Like a vibe means something to me. A vibe means something to you. A vibe means something to everyone. So what does it mean his vibe was off? Can anyone, like, explain that to me? Because that sounds like total horse bleep, if you know what I mean.
Thank you, Dylan.
Total BS.
Appreciate the call.
I was hoping Dylan would say the word vibe a couple more times before the call ended. We're vibing. Well, we are vibing here.
We are. To your point, is that a team just throwing that out there? Again, you're talking about a meeting. Quite frankly, this is just me. I wasn't in the room. Other teams can view it differently. But like, I don't really care what somebody's vibe is like all that much. If I'm convinced that the player that they are on the field is good and that they don't have character concerns.
Yeah, but vibe can mean a lot of things.
It can.
So, like, if the vibe is, this just kind of seems like a jerk. Yeah. Like, that can be a vibe, you know? Yeah, this doesn't seem like a guy that we'd want in our locker room. That can be a vibe. Yeah, I think a lot of that.
But he also said he didn't think it was a character concern. So, what does that mean?
Right, right. I mean, it's kind of like a sliding scale sometimes. Like, okay, well, this guy is so good that I can deal with someone being, you know, not my favorite person when I'm sitting there talking to him. I mean, that's another interesting thing with Travis Hunter, by the way. And I mean, if anybody's paid attention to Travis Hunter, like in like his interviews and stuff like that he's done, I'm not at all surprised that he blew teams away. He's awesome, and that's another reason that to me the Titans should run to the podium if he's available and bring him in because.
Well, he will be available unless they trade. But yes.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yes, I'm thinking in the scenario of going down to three. But, yeah, well, I've already said it. If they are at one, that's who you draft. And that is – I do put some stock into, like, just what seems to be just a really positive, you know, go-getter, going to be a great addition to your locker room kind of guy.
I'm not giving up hope on Travis Hunter playing receiver. I don't care what you say and what everybody else says. I went down the YouTube rabbit hole of him playing receiver yesterday, Joe, in the Robbie Stanley film room. And let me tell you, I like him. I like him at wide receiver. And apparently, Joe, he does too. He likes wide receiver. Now, he's throwing it out there. He wants to play both sides
of the football. Well, I don't blame him.
I get it. But Kuharsky put this out there yesterday at paulkuharsky.com saying that he's been told by multiple people that the feeling is that if he's going to be steered in one direction, the direction that Travis Hunter wants to go is offense. And as PK points out, that's not a surprise. There's more money
exactly
in playing offense. But apparently if forced to choose which way to go, Hunter would choose playing wide receiver.
I'd much rather, like if I was equally good at those, I'd much rather go the way where you score touchdowns, you know what the play is, and you get to go torch somebody else. And you make more money.
Yes.
All day. So I'm not surprised by that. But sorry, Travis. You're going to be an all-time great corner, and you're going to like it. But I give him some plays.
You make pretty good money some plays.
You can. And I think he'll be the type of corner who will not be sad with what his second deal is. But, I don't blame him at all. Although it's got to be fun to lock someone up and make big plays and kind of live on that island and all that stuff. Yeah, it's way more fun to score touchdowns, right?
It is.
Have the ball in your hands?
I still think he can be a pretty good receiver at the NFL.
No, I do too. And every once in a while, I hear one of these draft analysts throw out, I mean, I don't like the Justin Jefferson thing that doesn't really.
Well, the conversation to me, ends if it's Justin Jefferson.
Well, he's receiver. Sure. Yeah. And I don't see that. But yeah, I mean, look, maybe he is. He's this absolute freak of all freaks who can do both. I just don't think in this league you're going to avoid injury doing that. I don't see how. You can do all those snaps. And, again, you're just exposing yourself that often in a game. You're going to get hurt, right? I don't think it's a sustainable way to look at this.
And you want him, you know, returning punts too. It's like,
does
he ever get off the field? Yeah. Is he ever on the sideline over there?
Yeah, just stay out there.
615.
Like the best kid on your youth team, you know?
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the wide receiver position in this draft. Some interesting comments from Feldman on Tet McMillan there. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in later today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host St. Bonaventure. Pre-game beginning at 4:15, first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Got one texter that says, can you imagine the hype if Travis Hunter gets a pick and a touchdown in his first game? He'd turn into the face of the league.
Oh, my goodness. It'd be almost like Marcus Mariota throwing four touchdown passes and having a perfect QB rating in his first game. Sorry to bring that up.
Hard to find a better debut.
That was pretty freaking good, man.
Not a sign of things to come.
So Jeremy Fowler have a combined report here
kind
of from the Titans' perspective. A couple interesting nuggets in here I thought I'd throw out here. One is a few themes talking to different people, right? A lot of people think, you know, that Ward is the consensus QB number one, but that Sanders' skill set might be a slightly better fit for Brian Callahan's offense, according to multiple scouts. That's interesting. Remember, you know, yes, Cam Ward, not a lot of people have Cam Ward as the top guy, but the Titans are bringing in Shedeur Sanders this week, too.
Sunday, I believe.
So is that like just because Stephen A. Smith likes Deion, or are they just wasting a visit on a guy that they don't?
I don't know. Like,
throw my jacket on the ground, Kaharski.
In all seriousness, like, I do think having these visits before free agency is really smart by the Titans.
For sure.
Getting as much information as you possibly can before you delve into free agency next week, I think it's great. And, you know, the Hunter one's coming a little bit later, but, like, you know, the Hunter one is probably the one that I'm least concerned about in terms of the visit, the impressions. I mean, pretty much to a person, Travis Hunter's left a good impression on people. Travis Hunter's film kind of speaks for itself. So I'm not really worried about Hunter there. But I think, in general, the idea of them – getting as much information as they can before the free agent period opens up is really good.
Absolutely. A couple more quick nuggets from this. A lot of the same people, these scouts, believe the Titans' three best options or top options are Ward, Carter, and trading out. And the majority of league personnel surveyed by ESPN believe Tennessee prefers to trade out. So, you know, it's felt that way. And then all of a sudden you get this, oh, Cam Ward to the Titans. Are they falling in love with Cam Ward? And is that misinformation? Is that real information? Paul Kuharski is here to tell us what's real and what isn't.
Paul Kuharski is here, fresh off a week last week at the NFL Combine. PK, good to see you. What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm well. I'm happy to be home. And I'm tweeting something now that I think will get the conversation started.
Okay.
Titans aren't going to be players for Sam Darnold. If he was a shorter-term, cheaper option, sure. But as long as he's going to be a long-term, high-dollar commitment for somebody, it's not going
to
be them.
What are you trying to do to Stilly today? Are you trying to just crap on his Christmas?
Listen,
right now, on March 5th.
I listened to Stilly a little bit on the way to pick up my kid and
bit.
Back.
Uh-huh.
I definitely didn't turn it on yesterday really intentionally because I couldn't bear the idea of listening to him not talk about how he's wrong on the franchise tag.
Oh, yes.
Which he spent hours and hours and hours on predicting.
What
and we
say?
Know what he does
he
when he's
it?
Wrong with the prediction.
Did he guarantee it?
He just skips right by it. So I would bet money that if he said anything about being wrong on the franchise tag yesterday, it was like a quick mention going to break, and then he went on. And
I don't know. Dominic Gowney!
I don't know why you would be in love with Sam Darnold as an option now. Is he the best option for this year? Yes. Well, I guess it makes perfect sense for Stille. If you're a short-time vision guy and you can't see beyond Sunday's game, it's perfect for you. If you're trying to build a football team long range, you want Sam Darnold, the guy that showed up for the last 2 weeks of the season, which is what you get.
No,
when
I mean,
he's good?
Yeah, he didn't play well, but I gotta say, okay, so let's just lay it out the way we laid it out for Titans fans. So you have a choice, and it's just all things being, here's your choice: your quarterback for the next few years is Sam Darnold, or it's Cam Ward. You're choosing Cam Ward.
No, I'm choosing neither.
Okay, so you just want a crappy quarterback.
I don't want a crappy quarterback.
Who's your quarterback?
It's some stopgap. It's a combination of Levis and,
oh my God,
and Mac Jones.
This is really inspiring.
Jameis Winston. I'm not here to inspire. I'm here to tell you what's going to happen.
I want you to run a team.
No, now be a cheerleader. I want Titans.com.
I think Sam Darnold's good. I do. I think Sam Darnold's good, and I think that Sam Darnold could win
you
for you.
You want him to be your quarterback the next 4 years here?
I mean, I don't think that that's a terrible thing. Robbie, what do you think? Terrible thing? Good thing?
I'm not saying it's a terrible thing. Is it a better thing than getting one of the two or three best quarterbacks in next year's draft and building from there?
How do you do that?
Now, again, how do you do that? You do that with your first-round pick and the first-round pick you're going to get from Oakland or the Raiders or
who's that
the Jets.
QB? Who you like? Who's the QB?
I don't know. I'm not a big college football guy.
Well, I'll tell you. There's nobody right now that I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's going to be
here's one thing we know about college football. You always know the summer before the talent of the class coming in.
But
Joe, a national college football writer, can't go with that.
Do you want me to help you on this? Because everybody did know that Caleb Williams and Drake May were going to be at this point. So that does happen sometimes.
But not all the time.
That's true.
Sometimes the season plays out, and the guy that you think is going to emerge emerges.
And sometimes the class sucks, which is possible next year.
When's the last time there were back-to-back quarterback classes that sucked? Go do some research. Get back to me on that. I'm thinking it's pretty unlikely that you're going to get back-to-back classes that are this bad.
It'd be tough to get back-to-back that are this bad. Maybe. I mean, as we sit here
that's
today.
That's the kind of thing you should know off the top of your head, national college football, right?
As we sit here today, like I think back to Burrow's year. Burrow was fine the year before he had his breakout season at LSU, but he wasn't otherworldly. And then he was.
Yeah.
And it was no doubt who was going first overall.
I mean,
right?
Hopefully that happens next year, and it might.
Same thing with Jane Daniels. Like, Jane Daniels was fine at LSU in Brian Kelly's first year, and then he was awesome the next year and led to him being drafted where he was.
But the Williams, you know, the Williams-May situation, that wasn't an isolated thing either. There's plenty of times, Paul, where at this point we have a pretty good feel for a guy or two who are going to be at the top of the draft. And right now, like we just talked about the other day, I mean, Carson Beck was supposed to be that guy going into last year.
Yeah.
Now he's at Miami. I don't know. I mean, people are off. The Nico's going to be ready. The Arch stuff is out of control in my mind for, like, just because his last name is Manning. I have no idea if he's good.
A year from now, you're going to love Nico. We know a game from now, you're going to love Nico. He's a Tennessee quarterback.
Oh, shut up. and so,
TV Joe.
Yes. And so, you know, could Lenora Sellers turn into that guy? Could. Could Drew Aller turn into that guy? Yeah, he could. He has traits. But, man, I mean, that's fine. You
want
to have crappy quarterbacking for as long as possible, then
do
it.
I don't want to have them.
I run my team.
To answer your question,
pay you a lot of money,
would I sign up for Darnold being the quarterback? I said earlier in the show, like, if you're thinking that he's going to be the guy that takes you to competing for Super Bowl, the answer is no. Like, he's not going to be that. Can he stabilize the position? And can you draft somebody to be your future in a year or two while he's still your quarterback? You can. Some good organizations have done that. Sam Darnold is, I think, the best option this offseason. I don't love the idea of committing to Sam Darnold for 3 or 4 years, and I never have. So
that's what you're going to have to do. Somebody's going to do that.
Yeah, but again, to me, the Darnold thing is it's a 2-year commitment. And then if he continues to progress, well, great. Now you have him, and you. And if it's flatlining, not flatlining, I mean, he's not going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it's stagnant or even like the last two games are a little bit more what he is than not, well, then, you know, obviously it turns out to be a bad move, a mistake. I still think it's a lot more of a known commodity, obviously, than any of these drafted QBs. And I think that you can get to the playoffs the way he played last year if you have a team around him,
yep.
Which you have to do no matter
which,
who your quarterback
you
is.
Don't here.
Okay, but well, then you're gonna get fired along with everybody else if you're building this team. You have to build a team.
I agree.
All right, I got to get – so Robert's sitting here saying PK is absolutely right. It's going to be Levis. I don't see how people don't see that. Are you saying right now that Will Levis is going to quarterback the Titans next year? Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm saying
– I just want to make sure.
I expect he's going to play games. I expect he's in the mix, but they're not going into the season with the intention of Will Levis being the starting quarterback week one or being whatever. But I think it's probably a competitive mix. The market has dried up. The Carr, who they like, maybe Cousins still comes free, and that's a possibility. They were never into Rodgers. Stafford thing didn't turn into anything. There are a lot of guys that we spent a lot of time talking about, and nothing's popped. Everything's gone back to where it was.
So you expect then?
I expect it's going to be
Levis on the team.
Yes.
And you expect that it's either
– it's a stopgap type.
So they're not going to draft a QB. You don't believe they're going to draft a guy either?
I don't believe they're going to draft a late guy. I think
are they going to draft Cam Ward?
They might draft Cam Ward. They don't know yet if they're drafting Cam Ward. So they might draft Cam Ward and all of this is moot. If they don't draft Cam Ward, I don't think they're drafting a later guy. I think if they did draft a later guy, it would be McCord. Which I don't love, and I don't know that he's.
You were throwing so much excitement in the air about the Tennessee Titans today. I mean, who couldn't be excited?
But
you're talking stopgap in terms of like the Daniel Joneses,
Mac Jones,
one of those guys.
Winston Jones, one of those. Who I would think would come in as the starter,
with the Tennessee Titans.
But would fail at some point, prompting Levis to get a chance. Who would fail at some point, prompting that guy to get another chance, which would result in seven
then
starts for one and eight starts for the other.
All right, I can see him at the top of the draft next year now. Okay, you talked me into it. 615. I don't know who they're going to draft, but they'll be up there.
737-1025, our phone number. PK is with us the rest of the program. A lot of things with the Titans to get into. With him, we'll continue to do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts for Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com on all things Tennessee Titans. Some people upset on the text line that apparently the Titans not going to involve themselves with Sam Darnold.
By the way, Jordan Schultz might be reporting this soon. So keep your eye out for that. That'll legitimize things. And make it – I'm going to add that to everything I report now.
It was a banner
day. I did that yesterday when I reported that Mike McCoy is joining the coaching staff. And then in a subtweet on that tweet, I said Jordan Schultz will be reporting this soon.
Do you know Jordan Schultz?
Better watch out, man.
I know Jordan Schultz only through DM conversations with him about how he reports my stuff 3 hours later and doesn't credit me. This happened with Lloyd Cushenberry. I reported that Lloyd Cushenberry
yes.
had torn his Achilles. You'll love this story. Had torn his Achilles. He reported it as exclusive 3 hours later, and I sent him my earlier report, the tweet of my earlier report, and he kind of sent me back question marks. And I said, yeah, you're reporting this as exclusive, and it's 3 hours old.
Right.
And he's like, oh, man, I didn't see it. And I go, well, you're seeing it now. It'd be very easy for you to just put a tag on yours like, oh, didn't see this.
Hat tip to
Kuharsky. He had it first. And he said, brace yourself for this. He said, oh, this is just such a terrible time for Lloyd. I hate to bring it up again. And I said,
okay,
Jordan, Lloyd knows that he tore his Achilles. Like, bringing it up again is not going to revisit some horror for Lloyd. Lloyd is currently, dealing with it.
The tendon that shall not be named. He's reminded every time he tries to take a step.
I said there are all kinds of ways you could BS your way into not doing the right thing and crediting me here, but that's about the weakest one you could come up with.
Are you trying to get yourself some free Starbucks moving forward here?
I
mean, it's incident last week.
I did not know he was an heir.
I didn't either.
He's a tool. Look, in the Rappaport, you didn't ask.
Well,
me.
Why don't you?
In the Rappaport,
can we rank? Schultz, can we do the Mount Rushmore?
I wish I was there in the Rappaport Schultz thing to officiate, and I would have said, "You are both giant turds." But in this situation, Jordan is actually correct.
Yeah, that's
but true. I like him less. But he's correct. Like, and I don't understand also, why Don Yee and Brady side are so anxious to downplay the meeting with Stafford. He's got permission to talk. You're winning. You've got him skiing with you. This is great recruiting. Good job. Not, oh, no, no, it's an accident that they ran into each other at this mountain in Montana.
Yeah.
It's so preposterous. Well, and how dumb does Rappaport look to carry water for it?
Dumb. He looks pathetic.
Yes, he's pathetic.
But he doesn't care.
These guys have no shame.
He doesn't care.
Don Yee says it. I will cut and paste it.
But I will say this. You know, I know that Rappaport has a horse or whatever, but I mean, being friends with Jordan Schultz may not be the worst thing, right?
With Jordan Schultz?
Yeah.
I mean, because of the stuff. Can he give you a free cup of coffee?
He's a billionaire, man. Like, you know, you might get to ski in Montana, you know? He probably has a house up there, too.
Not taking anybody skiing. He's a putz. All these guys, they continually expose themselves, these national guys, as jerks.
So rank them.
Rank their jerkiness?
Well,
Schultz is the biggest jerk in terms of professional ethics. He has none.
Well, and we know that Kuharsky, you know, repaired his relationship with Pelissero last year at the owners' meeting. So Pelissero's in good standing.
Well, I will say, I called out Jordan Schultz for this was 2 days old, my story that the top four guys were coming here before free agency. Two days old when he added nothing new to the story and put it out as an exclusive. Now, Rappaport, at least, when
he
put it out.
Did he actually say the word exclusive?
Yes. He has an exclusive banner that goes across his little graphic.
Okay.
Now, Rappaport put it out, but at least he advanced it and said who was coming what day. So, right. I mean, that's advancing the story. But Schultz put it out. And so I just tweeted, like, Jordan Schultz has an amazing record of taking my stuff and casting it as exclusives after I've reported it. This one's 2 days old. I can't imagine his record around the league. And I got like five texts from reporters around the league, DMs, about their personal stories with Jordan Schultz. Now, most people work for companies that won't allow them to say things like I say about Jordan Schultz. But I think I'm highly respected in the reporter community because I have no boss and I can say these things. And then meantime, a colleague in this very building on the next show, Joe Dubin, shoots me down like I'm getting beat by Jordan Schultz, who's 2 days behind me.
I saw that.
And so I expect Joe Dubin to walk in here. He should walk in here and apologize on the air, which he's still yet to do as far as I know. I haven't listened to his show. But I'll say very publicly, I don't appreciate him pretending like I'm getting beaten on national stories when I'm coming off a week, by the way, where I had multiple wins. So he thinks it's cute stick, and I think it's a guy not paying very close attention. So wakey-wakey a little earlier, Joe. He says, I'm not on Twitter much. Well, you're on Twitter enough to see Jordan Schultz's stuff, so wake up and look at mine.
I hope Joe comes in here, apologizes to you, and then puts you in a big headlock.
Because physical violence is always the answer.
I don't think you're getting enough love for your Travis Hunter stuff, preferring wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't either. But I don't care about getting the love.
We're letting you love yourself right now on the air.
Well, that's fine. I don't know what Joe's doing. Joe's then like, Twitter's not real life. Well, it's real life enough for you to say that Jordan Schultz is winning.
Okay, I was wondering what Joe we were talking about for a minute. Okay.
Dubin, so where's the real life line for you? It's real enough for you to make judgments up to a point, but then when you get burned on it, somebody calls you on it, it's not real life. I don't live on here. I'm out enjoying the real world.
Yes? If I didn't correct Joe, would you have noticed this?
Yeah.
You would have? Okay.
Yeah, because I'm on Twitter, which is, my not real.
Did you feel like this was your fault?
Well, it is. because I saw his tweet and I was like, because he does this all the time, which, again, that's a side issue of like it's the whole national newsbreaker thing. It's a totally different world than it used to be in terms of local stuff. But we do have people here locally, including Paul, who especially do. Yes. Exclusively, Paul? Not exclusively.
I didn't say exclusively. I said especially.
Who breaks stories. So when Joe put that out, I'm like, dude, like I know Paul, TD, I think everybody. Well, not everybody, but like maybe you first, but like other people have been reporting this.
Well, and in all seriousness.
So then I corrected him, and then it turns into this big fight.
In all seriousness, though, like I do think, even going back to the Pelissero stuff last year with Rappaport, Schefter, we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
I do hope on this show you've kind of gotten a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what exactly goes on with some of these people sometimes and how much of, for lack of a better word, sellouts they can be in this information.
That's very lucrative, but it's not what I call journalism.
That would be echoed by me. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. Do you know what it reminds me of with no interest in Darnold? Do you remember when Schottenheimer's Chargers won 14 games and then they fired him?
I do.
For some reason, feels like that to me. Like, how can you have somebody who wins that many games out on the market and just go, well, yeah, we're not interested in that? The only thing I could think is that you want to lose and do that until the stadium opens and keep stockpiling bigger talent. Like, I don't know any other reason you would just come flat out and go, we're not going to be interested in a guy who could win like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. The only way, you would have to slide back still. So you're still not going to get the best quarterback if you decide to do it with a draft pick. So we're going to end up with Daniel Jones or somebody wild to be our quarterback this year. I see it. Like, that's the only answer, and it's really depressing as a Titans fan.
What you're doing is looking at the quarterback independent of everything else. Like, you're just carving out Minnesota Darnold and dropping him into Tennessee and thinking he's going to be the same guy, who, by the way, at the end, completely collapsed. What if he's that guy?
I mean, he very well could be, but you don't want to take a chance. Like, a quarterback that's proven he can throw for 4,000 yards, you don't want to take a chance. I understand he played for the Jets. Has anybody ever succeeded with the Jets since the 70s? So, like, just erase that part. He did okay in Carolina. Jared tells you that 10 times a day, every day.
What do you think about Borgonzi? You have faith in Borgonzi?
I don't know Borgonzi. None of us do, man. So I know I don't have faith in him. I don't know him. Like, right. He's got to prove it to me.
I don't know him either. He's got to prove it to you. So one of the things he's going to do in proving it to you is likely pass on Sam Darnold.
I'm a disappointed group, Paul. That's all. I'm disappointed.
Thank you for the call, Adam.
Is there any way you can possibly yell more than you just did this segment? Because the next segment is supposed to be the rant. You're supposed to save that for the next segment.
I've got some other options.
You got something?
Yeah,
got okay. Some. All right. Some. Let's keep ranting.
We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Take more of your thoughts for PK on the text line as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Let's start repeating things and using big vocabulary words. Where's the thesaurus?
Not nearly enough for me to put my whole future in the future, which would be all my eggs, in the basket. How are egg prices doing, by the way?
I don't know.
I don't think they're that
good. I got access to free ones.
You do? You have your own chicken, don't you? That is the key. I think that's the key for all of us, is to get chickens. Can I have one of your chickens?
Well, no, I'll have to check.
Okay. Yeah.
See how that goes.
Ask Kevin.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant.
PK like that.
What will the he price? What's the price of a chicken? That's the question. Is the chicken prices down? Because the chicken's got to be expensive if the eggs are expensive.
What do we get the chicken for?
Because Joe and I still have this egging business that we want to get going.
We really got to get
but
fired
it's
up.
It's absolutely the wrong time to get into the egging business.
Yeah. George Schultz would be screwed if you two got in the egging business.
Have some of this, Jordan. PK would cut the heads off chickens and throw them at Jordan Schultz, probably.
I don't like the blood.
That's where he draws the line.
You have a chicken?
I have access to several chickens.
Access is different than having.
I mean,
your family.
My
has
family
chickens.
Has chickens.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we have names?
I'd rather not discuss.
Like when when
we've got something.
When they drop the eggs, is there like a cash register noise?
You can hear it from inside. Whoa! Time to go get them.
That's like Sam Darnold when he signs a contract.
I've grown to hate this time of year. Now, we're getting close to the point next week where it starts to be fun again in NFL free agency. This time of year, and some of the conjecture that comes out of these draft meetings, reminds me a little bit, Joe and Paul, of NFL training camp. You know, we get all so caught up in NFL training camp and, like, each practice day. And I've ranted about this before of, I don't know what it is about the NFL where we put so much stock into practice and what people do in practice and how that's going to translate into a game. And sometimes it does. A lot of times it does not, i.e. Treylon Burks, which we've talked about a lot here on the show. I remember this time last, I just looked it up. A year ago, the conversation on March the 10th, March the 14th, I found videos, whether it's Dan Patrick, all these different ESPN shows. The conversation was Drake May's draft stock's falling. Drake May, not impressing people in interviews. Drake May, he's going to fall in the draft. And what happened? Drake May ended up going third overall. I said it yesterday. I repeat it now. I think you got to be really careful this time of year when you're disseminating what information actually means things that come out via the draft and what information is complete and total bullcrap. We talked about the Shedeur Sanders stuff earlier. I said it. All it takes is one team to like that kid and to draft him. This time of year starts to drive me nuts how the group thing just kind of all comes together. It reminds me of NFL training camp. I don't like it. I don't like this time of year. I like NFL free agency where real things happen.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%. Free agency is way better than the draft. You're talking about known commodities, guys that have proven what they are to some degree or that you could at least project based off NFL performances.
But he's not saying the draft. He's talking about the pre-draft stuff.
I'll take it to the degree that free agency is better than the draft. Because
the draft's a great TV show.
But somebody told us, I think it was on this show or somewhere else, you could go to the draft. Like if you're live at the draft or you're at a bar with people that are wearing Packers gear and it gets to the third round pick and – this is Braden Gall telling this story. He's a Packers fan too. And it was broadcasting somewhere during the draft, doing, you know, pick-by-pick assessments as draft geeks do. And a Packers fan is a second or third round pick of a relatively decently known, like, college linebacker. And he went to a break and saw the Packers fan and said, "You must be excited about so-and-so." And he said, "Never heard of him."
No idea.
You know, and that's a huge percentage of people. You know, they cheer into the cameras or whatever, and then they get on their phone and they're looking up. And we get great hits on our introduction to the Titans third-round pick stuff because they don't know who the hell he is. Well, in free agency, generally, you know, maybe not the swing tackle that you're signing from the Vikings, but – you know, skill guys, you know who the hell they are. You've seen highlights. They've been on your fantasy team.
Actual stuff starts happening.
It's just
actual things.
It's an example of, number one, how the NFL dominates the sports conversations because people love football. And I get it. Like, I love football too. So I understand all that. But it gets into the same thing in NFL training camp. And this is not just a Titans thing, but, like, this is the team that we cover and we're here locally. Like, how much did we talk about Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips and what they did at training camp over the course of a couple years for the Titans at practice, and what did that lead to on the field?
Nothing.
Basically zero.
Dude, Kyle Phillips was so awesome.
Yeah,
in practice.
I mean, unbelievable. I'm sure he was. But, like, the amount of stuff that ultimately comes out, and this is, again, not just the Titans thing, league wide, that ends up meaning nothing at the end of the day.
I try hard, Robbie, to contextualize that. Like, there's a split. Like, this is the news of the day.
Right.
Kyle Phillips was twisting people's ankles. But it's the news of the day, and it means nothing about opening day. And right. And then especially after you go through it once with Kyle Phillips and say he's going to be on the injury list all year and play three games, the second time he does it, you go, we've seen this before.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a training camp player, but it means not. But fans won't.
Yeah, but there and but
put up any goals.
Well, to be fair, that there also are guys who do things, and then that leads to.
Yes.
Stuff in the, you know, so there's like,
well,
there's some value to it, but yes, it gets very, and with certain people, it's just like, at some point, you just have to stop. You, like, it's not happening, you know?
Well, again, like, there's.
Treylon Burks was bad in training camp last year.
But he was
he was bad for the first month of the season.
But he was really good in that camp before he got hurt at Minnesota. So, I don't know.
I meant Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley was bad for the first month of training camp last year, and he was bad for the first month of the season.
Yeah. I mean, there's
and they kept telling us there's nothing to see here. Don't right. worry.
Well, and like even draft wise, like I bring up the Drake May example. There's somebody like that every year that their draft stock is quote unquote falling, and then the actual draft comes around and it's not.
So that's a good one to ask you, PK. Shedeur, there's all this. Take it seriously. Who said that?
It was McShay.
McShay.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like he cared what teams thought of him. Which that's a new one on me. Didn't seem professional enough. There's more and more stuff about him not being impressive to teams in these interviews. How much of this stuff do you think that this is BS? Do you think he's still going to go real high on the draft, or do you think he's actually falling?
I don't know if he's actually falling. I heard compared to Ward, he was not as, I don't know if sophisticated is the right word. He was not as good at the
impressive.
Board.
Oh, at terms, the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Overall, like football, how advanced is he in football concepts and knowledge? Not as advanced as Ward. So I think the distance between
I take that more seriously
Ward,
than what McShay said. I don't know what McShay's talking about.
Yeah, I'm sitting in a chair.
Don't talk.
Yeah.
No, I think his personality is just very, you know, he's a lot like Deion in that he's kind of like flip and fun and all of that, which is fine if you know the football and can play the football. I don't think there were any major revelations that were not on the train tracks that we thought they were on coming in. But if those train tracks are angled a little bit away from each other and now we're further down the path, then they wind up a little bit further apart, right? And as we get closer to the draft, they continue to get a little bit further apart because they're aimed at different ending points.
Real fast, do you think the Titans have serious interest in Shedeur Sanders still?
I don't. It's certainly not at one.
Okay.
There you go.
He's coming in Sunday.
I mean, I think if they're taking it's Cam Ward at one. It's a trade out. And here's the thing. I don't think they want to trade that pick without getting a first rounder back. I know they don't. Now, so if you can't get a one out of the Giants, then you may be more willing to go to six or seven than I thought.
Okay.
But they got to get a one out of the Giants. And the reports seem to be that the Giants really want to get to one. So if they really want to get to one,
there's a price to be paid.
Drop your first rounder.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One more hour with PK coming up next. A lot more things to get into on the Titans and the NFL draft. Free agency coming up next week. We'll get into that as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.